It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Here we go. Jake and Josh are here to analyze the game they love for the team they love.
This is another Dolphins podcast.
Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh House.
Thanks for tuning in to another Dolphins podcast, and let us be among the last to wish you a happy Victory Sunday and be among the first to wish you a happy, happy, happy Victory Monday. The Dolphins are officially on a two-game winning streak after defeating the Raiders 34-19 in the Battle of Eichenberg. And Joshua Houts, we have hope.
And I didn't want to have hope. I mean, I do want to have hope, but I didn't want to get, you know, back on this. I didn't want to get back on this bandwagon where I'm going to just be strung along. We're going to get all this hope behind us. We're going to get excited, and then we know how it inevitably ends. But maybe this is different. I mean, I know this feels different, and I love how you said this was the Battle of the Eichenberg. So, two-game win streak. I love coming on here and seeing your face, Jake, every week, but it does – you'd look a lot more handsome after a victory.
Dude, we're all glowing. You know, you can sleep a little better Sunday night knowing that you have a victory. Dude, there's a lot of elite players on the Miami Dolphins, and a lot of them shined in a 34-19 win over the Raiders. But Josh, I want to ask you this. Is anybody better at getting 15-yard penalties than Liam Eichenberg? For the second straight game, man, a 15-yard, a necessary roughness, personal foul. This dude is turning into an elite offensive lineman.
Yeah, and it's a contract year. I have to keep reminding myself, right? Don't we have to re-sign him after this? So maybe he's, you know, getting that resume up. But yeah, Battle of the Eichenbergs. I thought it was funny pre-game or during the game. They were saying how they bust in like almost 80 Eichenbergs. I'm like, oh my God, we talked about it before, but that sounds like nightmare fuel. So I'm glad that our Eichenberg came out on top. But yeah, man, whatever he does to opposing defensive linemen, I mean, it has to be studied. I can't imagine a Liam. I wish Christian Wilkins was healthy, because Liam Eichenberg, Christian Wilkins, that would have been a battle that we wish we could see every day in camp back in the day.
Oh, dude, that would have been the coolest mic'd up. I can't believe we've never gotten that. That's such a great point. And I think it's funny because a lot of Sunday's game, the Dolphins struggled around the football. Adam Butler, John Jenkins in the center of that defense is always funny to see. But Josh, despite being a little up and down with running the football, Miami's offense was near perfect against the Raiders. Touchdown, field goal, end of half. Touchdown, 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 field goal. What an impressive performance, Josh. How'd you feel about Tua?
Great, man. I mean, I felt my soul left my body there for a little bit. It's not the prettiest thing, right? I mean, we've seen Tua Tagovailoa in the deep passes. We've seen that the first few years with Mike McDaniel. I said this on Blue Sky, Twitter, whatever we want to call, whichever social media platform. It feels like a death by a thousand paper cuts, right? It's just these little passes. Tua's finding the opening in the defense. They're moving the chains. And I honestly do not care how it's done. So I think Tua Tagovailoa, since he's come back from the injury, he just has a great understanding of what defenses are showing them. You know, we keep hearing about the two high shells, the, you know, throwing the receivers off at the line. He's taking what the defense is getting, giving him, going through his progressions. And as we're seeing it, starting to unlock that Jonnu Smith type unicorn that we thought we'd see at the beginning of the year. So I'm excited to see what this offense can do as it progresses once they get that run game behind them. But for a day when, you know, the run game wasn't clicking, Tua Tagovailoa did everything pretty much damn near perfect. What were your thoughts on Tua, Jake?
Started in the first half with that first drive. Super, super impressive. 14-play touchdown drive. Miami was bailed out by a super unnecessary holding penalty on 3rd and 20, which really saved the day. But you're able to punch it in there. And then the Dolphins had a 16-play field goal drive where they were averaging 3.2 yards per play. And Josh, this is where I thought Tua really put his big boy pants on and was just, you know, out there putting in the work play after play. I mean, the Dolphins were averaging 3.2 yards per play. This is an offense that, you know, you're, as much as you want them to huck it deep to Tyreek and Waddle, every single defense knows that that's what the Miami Dolphins are going to try to do. You have to try doing different things. And that's what the Dolphins were able to do here. I thought it was very impressive. They were able to just march down the field. I thought the Raiders had a really smart game plan. Force them to complete a first down and then another first down and then another first down. Josh, early in the year, we saw the Dolphins not being able to do that, whether it was a backup quarterback, whether it was some fumbles or some penalties. There were a bunch of issues. This performance was so impressive because the Raiders were smart. You had an interim offensive coordinator. You had Scott Turner there. You had Norv Turner in the mix. They wanted to make this a possession game. They wanted to just squeeze and melt the clock as much as possible. And the Miami Dolphins said, all right, you want to do that? Well, we're going to score on every single possession. Try to keep up.
I was a little surprised. I saw Norv Turner up there in the year 2024. I'm like, what is going on here? But yeah, I mean, again, they took what the defense gave them and they were able to just, you know, churn out these first down drives. We even got to see Tyreek Hill get a little bit involved in this one, right, Jake?
I think.
So, I mean, again, Jonnu Smith, what do you have? 6 catches, 101 yards, 2 touchdowns. I think that was all his career highs in all those categories. So, I mean, again, we thought we'd see this at the beginning of the year. We're seeing it now. And my favorite thing is just to the haters, right? Everyone had always said Tua Tagovailoa was like a one-read guy. He's in his presser saying, you know, I'm going through my progressions now. That's why Jonnu Smith's getting involved. That's why this guy's getting involved. So, again, it sucks that it happened against the Raiders because that's what some people are going to use this as. You know, you're playing a lesser foe, but dude, we wanted them to go out there and a butt kicking, a poop kicking. They went out there and they did what they needed to do, and we're 4-6. And again, I'm trying not to get too hyped, but it's so hard because that's just what we are as fans, right, Jake?
The momentum is building, man. The snowball, it's rolling down that hill. We got to see how much snow it catches on the way down. You mentioned Jonnu Smith's big day, 8 targets, 6 receptions. And I think the key here, Josh, that people need to realize is that nobody's going to, quote unquote, lose, you know, Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle downfield anymore. It's just not going to happen. So many teams have been burnt by those two guys where you need to get other players involved. And we're truly starting to understand Jonnu Smith and even Odell Beckham Jr. got involved again today with some key catches. I can't wait to see what the timeline looks like when he's the guy who sneaks behind the defense for a 50-yard reception. But you truly understand why it's important to have these playmakers and why you can have someone like Jonnu Smith who, despite having a touchdown, despite having a big day, you have so many playmakers where he's still going to be the one to get lost in the defense. I think it's so funny, man, when you're watching the game broadcast, you see that I think it was Ross Tucker saying like, oh, you see everyone pointing because Durham Smythe goes in motion. Everyone's saying you got to keep an eye on Durham Smythe. And that led to Jonnu Smith being wide open. That sounds so crazy to say out loud, but it doesn't sound as crazy as saying you got to watch Durham Smythe so Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle get wide open, right? So you have these different options where you just need to find one way to break a defense. And when you can't break the defense, you see Tua doing a great job, whether it's escaping pressure and finding Smith, you know, dumping it off to a receiver, whatever it may be, Josh. This is an offense that looks very comfortable. And in past weeks or in past games, the Dolphins have sometimes felt desperate looking for answers. I feel like no matter what the situation is, even if it isn't like a one or two play answer, the Dolphins seem to have answers for almost every situation on how opposing defenses want to play them.
Yeah, and it almost seems like, I don't want to say we're starting to see some growth from Mike McDaniel, but it almost does seem like we're starting to see him grow, right? And starting to adapt and just this offense as a whole. I was going to age myself, Jake, but I don't even know if I have the game right. But wasn't there a game called like Don't Break the Ice or something where you'd like stack the marbles and then eventually would just break? That's what this offense feels like, right? You're doing this little underneath stuff. You're slowly working its way and then you're hitting Jonnu Smith wide open in the middle of that defense. So, yeah, again, I want to see him build this. New England next week, again, another pretty dismal foe that hopefully they can beat up on. But this was exactly what we wanted to see. We needed this game. We needed to see this get right game, and we got it.
Jab, 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 haymaker. That's what this Miami Dolphins offense can be. And when you have 4 or 5 different playmakers, it's cool to see someone like Malik Washington still get into the mix. We're going to be back. We're going to record Tuesday afternoon. Dustin's going to join us, and we're going to be focusing in on some of the trends that are working well for the Dolphins. But Josh, real quick, I want to say, I think we need to be a little more creative with Jalen Wright. We're at a point here. He had 5 carries for 4 yards. His long was 5. So he had 4 carries for -1 yards at one point in time. I think the Miami Dolphins have gotten into an awkward spot where they're playing him more. I think he had more carries than Raheem Mostert, who I think had 3 carries for -2 yards. So overall, I think the rushing offense really struggled against the Raiders. But what I'm trying to get here is it seems like Jalen Wright has a limited role where if he's on the field, he's going to get the ball. And that just seems like it's a little bit of a disaster for the Dolphins. It just seems like it's a tell. Because it seemed earlier in the year you had a couple package plays for Jalen Wright and then a couple just generic runs and he was doing well. When you try to get him in the mix, though, at this point in time, it seems like if he's on the field, there's like an 80% chance he's getting the ball. And I don't think you can have that big of a tell with someone like that in their rookie year.
Yeah, no, that's a great point that you bring up. It almost feels, I mean, it's to a lesser extent the whole Mike Gesicki thing, right? Whenever he was out in the field, you almost knew the Dolphins were fast because he could not block worth a darn. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy that, you know, we didn't have Ingold in this one. And so again, you saw that all the run game lack. So it's again, a testament, I guess, to Devon Achane, because I'm sitting here looking at him. The smallest guy on this roster almost is continuously, you know, taking on the biggest workload, 17 carries, again, 73 yards. He still averaged 4.3 yards per carry. And then in the passing game, 4 catches for 32 yards. I have a stat that says I think he's second now in the NFL in receptions for a running back, just behind Alvin Kamara with 46. So again, we thought Devon Achane was going to have a bigger role in this passing game, but he's just a little engine that could, that whenever you need him, when everyone else is lacking, he somehow seems to, you know, bring it all together. And again, I'm just a little bit surprised by the small body Devon Achane being that dude.
Over 1,000 yards in a year in college. I mean, you kind of had hope that he'd be able to put it together. It's just about staying healthy with someone like him, man. Every time he takes one of those runs up the middle, you just have your fingers and toes crossed. Josh, I wanted to ask you about the defense, because starting in the first half, I thought they were absolutely perfect. The Raiders had 2 drives. Yes, they scored on both of them, but they're both field goals. I think the Dolphins, they completed 6 straight quarters without allowing a touchdown, and the Raiders were averaging about 4.5 yards per play, it looks like.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Yeah, I mean, they could move the ball a little bit. I was going through trying to look at which drives were sustained by the Dolphins. I had some of those big play drives, and I was getting them mixed up because the Raiders did get some of those drives. They were moving the ball downfield, and I don't know if it was just the Dolphins playing a little bit conservative, but I think at some point, Jake, we got to have a talk about having a tight end problem, right? Because we saw Trey McBride a few weeks ago, and David Long was the casualty there, right? We got rid of him, but we're still seeing him, whether it's they're just playing zone in the middle of the field, whatever it is, they just do not have a matchup for a guy like Brock Bowers, who I had written down, he broke the NFL record for rookie tight ends with receptions with 13 in this game. So you knew he was like their number one playmaker coming into this, but the Dolphins still didn't have an answer. And again, it's okay because you're playing the Raiders, but you play a team that, you know, can score points. I mean, then we're in a little bit more trouble. So again, I like what we're seeing out of the defense, but I think there are some issues, some holes in the middle of the field that you got to tighten up before, you know, we can compete with some of those elite teams that we're hoping we can compete with when the calendar strikes December and January.
Yeah, man. So now that you say it out loud, I mean, I came here with the same idea, and I think we were all watching the game with the same idea. And if we're all screaming the same thing, do you feel like there's maybe something we're missing? Like, is there something? Could it be like, gonna go full Pepe Silvia here, but when you're facing the Raiders, right, there were some gimmicks they did, some trick plays that just ended up being runs or dump offs to the tight end, where you were kind of like, this trick, you knew they weren't going to throw it downfield to Jacoby Myers in a secondary that has, you know, Javon Holland and Jalen Ramsey back there, who ended up getting an interception. You're not going to really push the ball downfield. And it seemed like Miami fell into some of the traps where they thought the Raiders were going to push the ball downfield. And if us, Josh, the two geniuses we are, kind of have that impression of like, how are the Raiders doing this? Like, it's an interim head coach. If they're going to do gimmicky stuff, it's going to be for like a safe-ish result, right? It's going to be all this flashes, all these lights, and then we're going to dump it off here and let someone make a play. Full Pepe Silvia. Is this not the type of scenario where you expect the offense to play so well, defense plays it safe? So when you do get to week 17 and 18 and you do make adjustments for a big time game to face a big time player, opposing offenses might not necessarily be ready for it. I might be giving Anthony Weaver so much or way too much credit here, but when you consider how well this off or defense has played, and when you consider they held the Rams out of the end zone, there's got to be a little more to it than, hey, we all know Brock Bowers is good. Why aren't we covering Brock Bowers? Right? Is that too much credit to Weaver?
No, I don't think it is. And I think part of it might be just, you know, the fact that they're okay with letting him get that little, you know, the underneath stuff and you relying on your players to make tackles. I mean, I know a lot of people are down on Kater Coe, who he had that one miss, but for the most part,
we got to talk about that.
I mean, I got to be honest. I'm the old head that was at a birthday party watching it on my phone. So like, I feel like I'm just the guy that like isn't sure if it was like a dream seeing some of these things, like if I was just in a haze. But dude, Kater Coe, that was rough, man.
That seems, it's kind of been an issue with Kohu for a while where he loves the shoulder tackles, man, where I'm kind of at the point, I thought Storm Duck played pretty well. When Kendall Fuller comes back, I want a Storm Duck Kohu competition, because that was tough. That one where, I mean, there was a couple where he just pushed his shoulder at people where, like, you can't be doing that, where you just got to knock them back in bounds. You just got to, you know, knock them off their balance just a little bit so people can rally tackle. I mean, he was doing nothing on some of those plays. And when you're in a situation where you're letting guys dink and dunk like that, you got to be able to come up and tackle.
And this is where I wonder if he's not, you know, again, better suited at nickel, right? I mean, I think he's playing on the outside for most of this one. And, you know, maybe, but again, that's not, you know, that doesn't really
got to tackle. You're a football.
I was going to say, yes, it doesn't matter if you're playing outside or inside, you still got to be able to tackle. So there are some things to work on. Some other notes I had, Jordan Brooks, I believe, again, a huge day, 12 tackles, continues to lead the team with 85. Him and Anthony Walker, man. I mean, I wish we had that tandem at the beginning of the year. You mentioned it. He was a little bit banged up, but you saw that you were pretty high on that Walker signing because he was more than depth, right? A captain. He, you know, played very well elsewhere. We thought we'd had that nice player in David Long, but seeing Anthony Walker just fill right in, another 10-tackle game. You know, I was talking about the middle of the field being open with Brock Bowers, but as far as the run pursuit and things like that, I mean, those guys are as good as any linebacking core that we've seen in, you know, many years, Jake. And that's I think that's more of a how bad it's been, but that's also a testament to how well they've been playing.
I'm really hoping, and this is crazy talk, the Dolphins are 4-6 and there's a lot of work to go, but I hope they're doing this now, like the safe zone defense, so you can break out the double teams or the mismatches when you're facing like the Packers on Thanksgiving night, where you can show that offense something they haven't seen yet and really confuse Jordan Love. And I really hope that's the case, where they're pulling all these different levers. Josh, generally, I think the defense broke down a little bit in the second half. I mean, it didn't matter when you have the offense scoring 3 touchdowns, Tua looking awesome. You have a little bit of wiggle room, but I was a little disappointed to see the 2 touchdown drives from the Raiders just because of how well this this defense has been playing. But I thought it was interesting because the Dolphins did get to Minshew. They sacked him 3 times, which has been the average the Raiders have allowed this year. But I still think the Dolphins are kind of lacking a little bit in the pass rush department. You're hoping like, hey, sooner rather than later, you get a Cameron Good, you get a Bradley Chubb back to come in and help, because 3 sacks. But Josh, I think that pass rush really couldn't, you know, bend that Raiders offense to really make them uncomfortable.
And as we talked about with Cat, I mean, they did have some pieces on that offensive line, right? I mean, Chop Robinson, I believe, according to Next Gen Stats, I think this was the most pressures he had in the game, was 6. I think last week PFF said he had 6. So we did see some pressure coming from Chop Robinson, but you're right, man. Personally, I'm praying that Bradley Chubb comes back and could be our hero, but we're getting a lot of that pressure from the interior. Hat tip to Zach Sealer, right, with the visor on him and Calais Campbell. I mean, I've been absolute studs.
How did you miss that punt, Calais Campbell there? Did you see that? I mean, it must have been harder to see on the phone, but
he got kicked in the face. Didn't he get kicked in the head then?
He got kicked in the face.
I did see that. I'm like, how did I miss? And I was like, no, he just took that to the head. He's just on the sideline, like, laughing. I'm like, I mean, that's probably what I'd be if I just took the punters.
Bad luck.
Right to the dome.
Oh man, so close to blocking that's the do or die of special teams, where a quarter of an inch is the difference between a 15-yard penalty that really reignited that drive from the Raiders and blocking a punt the other way. Overall, man, Calais has been awesome. He had another sack. But one other thing I do want to mention, Josh, fighting against the clock can kind of be compared to a pass rush, and I thought it was interesting. Just when the Dolphins were taking that lead in the fourth quarter and the Raiders had to start pushing the ball with some urgency, what happened right away? The Raiders had to be urgent, felt uncomfortable. Jalen Ramsey interception. That is the key to this defense right there. Like, if the Miami Dolphins had a pass rush, oh, man, it'd be looking so, so strong. But for now, have that 14-point lead in that fourth quarter. Let the clock be your pass rush.
I did have in my notes Jordan Poyer again. It wasn't even Brock covering Brock Bowers at one point. Brock Bowers motioned out. He got a first down. I saw it on my phone. I'm like, this damn Trojan horse. Not again.
Yep. Dude, with Poyer, it's just, he's one of the guys that kind of felt like David Long, that it's so obvious when he makes a mistake, where you're just like, ugh, it's so obvious. A couple good notes to end on here, Josh, real quick. At one point, I think Aaron Rodgers was 3 for 6 for 4 yards in their 1-point loss to the Colts. Not only do we need to enjoy Victory Mondays as Dolphin fans, but anytime we can chuckle at the Jets losing, I think that's always a nice bonus too.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we get a pop of champagne as well, right, for the 72 Dolphins. And it's bittersweet, though, with this one, right, because the Bills did beat the Chiefs, so that's a little bit bittersweet. But, yeah, anytime the Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, I mean, dude, we've been taking crap from them on Twitter since our very first time we logged in. So it's nice to have that back and forth, but it's also nice to see them have all those high Super Bowl aspirations, this, that, and the other thing. Aaron Rodgers in his darkness retreat, and all for nothing, man. So, yeah, enjoy this victory Monday. Enjoy these wins, right? Because we don't know how often they're going to come, but we're 4-6. We got the New England Patriots. We're 5-6, and then we're looking at our Super Bowl on Thanksgiving Day with our family surrounding us. Jordan Love versus Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, what could possibly – that's going to be a great night is what I should say.
Beautifully said. We push forward 1.5 games out from the wild card, and we hope everybody out there goes and enjoys a wonderful victory Monday. Like I mentioned, we will be back soon with a new episode with Dustin. Be on the lookouts for that. But until then, fins up.
Fins up.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.